A closely watched report says companies laid off fewer people last year than any year since 1997.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Friday, the Labor Department releases what many economists consider to be the most important economic indicator of the month, the monthly employment report. Well, this morning, we got an early word that the job market was looking good in December. It comes from the job placement company Challenger, Gray & Christmas. And CEO John Challenger is with us live now from Chicago with the details. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So according to your report, employers announced plans in December to cut about, last year, to cut about 500,000 jobs. That's the best number since 97. I think a lot of people who are experiencing the job market right now would say, how could that be?
Unemployment's still high, and job creation is yet to return, which will really begin to drive unemployment down. We also have government that really still is in recession from a job standpoint. But if you're in a job right now, you're much safer than you were in 2009.
And best number since 97?
That was a very strong number. In fact, the month for December, just 32,000 job cuts, was the lowest monthly job cut total of the year. We saw jobless claims fall below 400,000 for the first time last month. So all in all, the economy seems poised for a better 2011.
And John Challenger, as I said, we get the big employment report Friday from the government. What does your report this morning tell you about what we might see on Friday?
It suggests that it's going to come down. It took an unexpected jump from 9.6% to 9.8% last month after 3 months in a row at 9.6. With these positive numbers, I think we'll see some pressure to see that number get a little bit better this month.
Well, hopefully you're right. John Challenger, CEO of Challenger, Gray & Christmas, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, there's a stark warning this morning for oil producers. Pump more oil or see high fuel prices derail the global economic recovery. The warning comes from an international energy watchdog, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports now from London.
The International Energy Agency says the cost of importing oil rose sharply last year. America's energy import bill alone jumped by $72 billion. This is getting dangerous, says the agency. High oil prices push up the cost of a wide range of goods and services, and those higher prices could tip Europe and the US back into crisis. The IEA's chief economist is Fatih Birol. He told Marketplace today the oil exporters must pump more crude.
If the producing countries do not respond to this high growth of demand by increasing their production, this may well mean higher prices than we have now, which is in turn is a bad news for all of us.
The oil producers' cartel, OPEC, seems unlikely to heed that call. Last week, its members made clear they are not planning to increase production. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. European markets are down this morning, about 0.5% in London, about 1.5% in Frankfurt. Here in the U.S., news just in that the mobile technology company Qualcomm will acquire computer chip maker Atheros for about $3 billion. This is all about Qualcomm being able to better compete in the world of smartphones and tablets. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow edged up 20 points to close at 11,691.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
If you use Orbitz or Expedia to search for airline tickets, you've probably noticed there are no American Airlines fares on those sites anymore. That's because of a dispute that started last month, and it's raised questions about whether airlines are better off flying solo when it comes to online ticket sales. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus joins us now with more. Good morning.
Good morning.
So American Airlines leaves orbits, then Delta ditches some other travel sites, then Expedia drops American Airlines. What's going on here?
Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask the airlines, they say, look, we're trying to differentiate our products and build our brands. They use the example of the Apple Store versus Best Buy. You go to Best Buy, you see oodles of products from oodles of makers, whereas you go to the Apple Store, you see oodles of products from one maker. The airlines like that. They want that for their own, whereas the travel agents like Orbitz and Expedia say this is an anti-competitive move, and what the airlines are trying to do is limit the amount of information that customers have so it's harder for them to comparison shop.
So that's what the airlines say. That's what the travel agents say. What do you say, David Lazarus?
I say it's all about the do-re-mi. Not surprisingly, you got to follow the money. And in this case, there's a critter called a global distribution system. This is sort of a pre-internet network that was devised so that travel agents would have all the fare information that they require. Well, things are different now in the internet age. And the airlines are trying to cut out these global distribution systems by feeding their own info directly to the travel agents. They have an incentive to do this, because they have to kick back some of the fare to the travel agent. They also have to kick back some of the fare to the global distribution system. The global distribution system, in turn, kicks back some of the fare to the travel agent. A lot of money is changing hands. So the airlines are saying, why don't we go around them? Whereas the travel agents are saying, let's hang on to our current system because we get a lot of cash from it.
But if they go around them, then passengers like you and me end up having to look everywhere to find the lowest fare.
And that's indeed the case. Right now, for instance, if you want to fly on Southwest, you've got to go only to their site. They don't want to participate in anyone else's play yard. Well, that's going to be the case going forward. What that means for travelers is you'll do a whole lot more mouse work if you want to find that lowest fare, but it'll still be out there.
Well, we'll be looking for them very hard. David Lazarus, consumer columnist for the LA Times. Thanks so much.
Come fly with me.
And while we're on the subject of airlines, there was a United flight diverted this week en route from Chicago to Germany. It made an emergency landing in Toronto. Why? Well, the Canadian Transportation Agency says the pilot spilled a cup of coffee all over the plane's communications equipment. That sent a bunch of emergency warnings to controllers on the ground. And hopefully it also sent a warning to the makers of airline coffee. The quality is starting to get a little dangerous. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Here in the United States, millions of people are desperate to find a job. Germany has quite the opposite problem.
Zum einen mal gelingt es uns nicht mehr.
We can't fill the open positions that we have quickly. Sometimes it takes months, so we can't grow as fast as we would like to.
I'm Kai Rizdal, getting the right workers for the right jobs in Deutschland. Also, the numbers from Wall Street. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.